You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Happy New Year, hour number two! Live on television here inside Studio 34 in New York City, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. The playoffs are set. We're ready to go. Corey, how you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to the innocent time of football when I just get to sit back, watch the games. You know, I'll have some fantasy, do some playoff leagues, but for the most part, they'll just be enjoying the NFL season and not worrying about specific player statistics. So I'm looking forward to the tournament in both conferences, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I'm very excited for the Bills making the playoffs, you know, once every 17 or so years that happens. So excited on that end, but I do have a heavy heart. Our dearly beloved Ted Finn Jr. is no longer with us. So
yes, if you come inside Studio 34, you'll see that the fishbowl is gone. We are sad to announce that it's at around 7:25 a.m. this morning, Ted Finn Jr. was pronounced deceased. And it was a hell of a season for Ted Finn. He's the real MVP.
Yeah, he's done a nice job. He did a nice job this year, and we'll miss him very much.
We need something else to put up there for commercial breaks now.
Yeah.
Spring back Angle. Put angle in the tank.
I think people would just turn it off.
You think so? They'd be like, what is this? Oh my God.
Change the channel. Okay, we talked a lot last hour, guys, about the AFC playoff picture. I want to get to the NFC playoff picture because that's the more fun one anyway. That's why we kind of saved it up. No offense, Matt, to the Buffalo Bills, of course.
Yeah, it's four teams in the AFC.
There's four teams in the AFC?
There's four teams in the AFC. I think we know what the division round of the AFC playoffs is going to be. In
all
the
favorites.
NFC, we don't know.
Right. So that's the cool thing about the NFC. Have you looked, Corey? I have not looked yet.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the spread in these games yet?
No, I have not looked at
it. I'd like to. Have you looked, Matt? Don't look. I don't need to look yet. I want to guess because I have no idea what it is,
mm-hmm.
which is really exciting.
That's a fun exercise
so,
that I can use next hour.
I'm going to do it right now.
Oh, my bad.
Carried
on the frenzy on Friday.
The Rams did cost themselves, well, or that late touchdown by Godwin, because they would have been the fourth seed. You know,
they weren't locked in. They weren't locked in. Well, Goodwin's hurt. He got hurt.
That's going to be
a nasty hit.
Something's going to be some fines handed down.
He said he's not going to be suspended.
Yeah.
They said that was a nasty hit on that poor guy.
Yeah, but if New Orleans would have won, they would have had 12 wins, and they would have had the third seed. Now you don't get that. Hopefully. Move to Philly.
That's the thing. Everybody's anticipating the matchup. But everybody wants to go to
Everyone
Philadelphia.
Wants to go to Philadelphia, of course. But the Marquise Goodwin hit was very, very scary. Oh, he's about the Chris Godwin touchdown. That was confusing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotcha. All right. But the Goodwin, when Goodwin went down and he like started just moving, I was like, oh my God, this is bad. But I haven't heard anything, so hopefully he's all right.
Yeah, hopefully so. He had a big season.
He did. He had a huge season with Jimmy G. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to guess the spreads for the two NFC games. So think about it in your minds. We'll think about that. We'll talk about it when we come back next on the Roto Experts.
Kane is in the building.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Modica, Corey Parson. I hope you guys were thinking during the break.
Yeah.
All right. So in front of me now, I have the spreads for Wild Card Weekend. The AFC, we've talked about last hour. Tennessee Titans come in as an 8-point dog to Kansas City, while Jacksonville is an 8-point favorite over Buffalo. And that's how it opened up. So Jacksonville, Kansas City, heavy favorites in their game. So in front of me right now, Atlanta heads to Los Angeles Saturday night. The first game, first playoff game in the Coliseum in quite a long time.
That seems like a Vegas zone.
Vegas zone indeed. The Rams at home against Atlanta. Corey, what do you think?
Rams at home versus Atlanta. I think the Rams will be a 4 to 4.5 point favorite.
4 to 4.5 point favorite over the defending NFC champion, Atlanta Falcons.
I'll go up a little. I'll say that 5 to 5.5. You know, Vegas zone kind of game.
5 to 5.5. The winner goes to Matt Modica. Close without going over 6. Rams are currently a 6-point favorite over the Atlanta Falcons.
Interesting right there. Atlanta, the same question. Are they lucky? Are they battle-tested? We'll find out this week. I think the Falcons can go in there and pull off the upset. I really, truly think they can. I do not think the Rams are 6 points better than the Atlanta Falcons.
I don't think they are either. But they are better.
People talking about the Falcons' offense, they're comparing it to last year's Falcons team. This year's Falcons team was pretty good offensively also. Sarkisian did do a good job with this team. As crazy as that may sound right now, you're comparing the Falcons' offense against last season's Falcons' offense. That's why it doesn't seem like they were up to par. Sarkisian actually didn't do that bad of a job with this Atlanta Falcons unit.
I think where he failed was with Julio Jones and the way they implemented him in the red zone. All you heard in the offseason was, we are going to get him red zone looks and all that, and not enough targets. I mean, just not enough targets. Once again, he had the highest route run per wide receiver per Football Focus. So, you know, he is one of the top three best wide receivers in the game. But if you don't get the targets, there's nothing you can do about it.
Greg, you looked at me awkwardly when I said he didn't do a bad of a job.
Yeah, because I'm with Matt. Like, to me, we looked at this team this year, and the usage, certainly the passing game of Devontae Freeman was terrible. The amount that Julio was utilized in the red zone was terrible.
Look at the overall total offense of the Atlanta Falcons.
That is literally what I'm going to do right now.
Look at the overall total offense of the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons offense was not...
What do you want me to look at? Points per game?
On a points per game basis and a yards per game basis.
All right, so points per game basis, the Atlanta Falcons finished as the 15th best offense in the NFL.
Okay.
That is league average.
Middle of the pack.
It's league average, okay? Yards per game, the Atlanta Falcons finished number 8 overall, 365 yards a game.
Yeah. We're comparing them against last year's Falcons team. It's not like this team was dormant. This offense is better than people giving it credit for.
It's a league average offense.
Yeah, but it's a league average offense that's a third team in the NFC South in the playoffs. How often does one division take three teams? That Falcon team has victories over the Saints, the Cowboys, the Panthers. Yeah, some other good teams this year.
Why did you say the Cowboys? Cowboys are plenty that they make the playoffs.
9-7.
Great.
That's a playoff team in the AFC.
Well, you would have tied for the playoffs. Maybe it made it even a tiebreaker. Well, they beat the Cowboys. Great.
It's a borderline. It's a good team. It's the first team that came to my mind. It's always the first team that comes to my mind.
That's fantastic.
Are the Cowboys no longer America's team, but Texas's team?
No, they're America's team. This is a team that America roots for.
They did beat Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers in the opening of their stadium back many moons ago. They got crushed by New England.
Then they beat Seattle.
I'm looking. I think they beat Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Good win. Lost to Minnesota in a close one, 14-9. As you said, beat New Orleans, beat Carolina. So there you go.
Not a bad season for a team coming off what they came off of earlier part of last year.
It was an inconsistent season for them.
They're a playoff team in the NFC.
They are.
They're a playoff
team.
Well earned. A playoff team in the NFC going on the road to take on a team that has no playoff experience.
I'm curious to read on Seahawks.com Scott's excuses to why the Seahawks didn't make it.
Wow. Shots fired.
I love you, King.
Shots fired from Bills Mafia. He can't talk trash to Bills Mafia no more.
That the Bills would be in the playoffs
and the Seahawks
would. The Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Giants would not.
All of us at this table. The only person at his team make the playoffs is the Bills.
What was Scott telling me? Oh, Talk to me when you make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm talking now.
Call him. Call him today. He said, you wanted to talk when you make the playoffs? Let's talk.
That's awesome. Talk to you when you make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's, that would be it. That's that was the next one. That's talk to you when you make the Super Bowl.
Hopefully they won't throw an interception on the 1 yard
line. Yeah.
You talk about how they're facing a Los Angeles team that no playoff experience, but that was the Falcons last year too. I mean, they came in with very little playoff experience themselves.
Matt Ryan's been to the playoffs before.
Well,
that team's
lost,
been to the playoffs
and then lost immediately.
It doesn't matter. They've had some good playoff games against Seattle, against
they
DC.
Always lost them.
Yeah, but they have their playoff experience in that locker room.
All right, fine.
On the flip side, though, here's where it gets interesting, because the Rams now, if the Rams win and have to go to Minnesota, Minnesota is like not the ideal matchup for the Rams.
If they win, they do go to Minnesota. That's a lock.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Having to go there, if they were the fourth seed, they had
a Philly, and then they
go to Philly.
Yeah.
Which, look, Philly's not going to be a walkover, even with Nick Foles. They have a good defense. They get to the quarterback. There is talent on that team. They have a good running game, and the tight end position is utilized by the Eagles like no other.
All right, so that's one game in the NFC. We'll break these all down throughout the week, a little bit more in depth, certainly, and from a fantasy perspective as well. But the other NFC game, the Panthers travel to New Orleans in the NFC South battle. Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, loaded one right here with star potential and star power. This is going to be an interesting one. This is the marquee matchup of the first weekend of the playoffs.
4:00 Sunday.
4:00 Sunday. I think we saw that one coming also.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this right here, the New Orleans Saints are probably a 3-point favorite.
I'll go to 3.5.
I haven't looked at it. I would say 4.5.
Okay.
I want to say 4.
Yeah, I mean, they beat him twice. That's tough to beat a team three
and Carolina,
times.
And Cam hasn't looked great. The last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I want to say something about that statement right there.
No problem. And the spread is, wow, New Orleans Saints are a 6.5-point favorite.
Carolina's definitely going to cover that.
Against Carolina.
Beat a team three times in one season. I think it's happened from what I was told, that third matchup, that's the playoff matchup.
Yeah.
The team that won the two games in the regular season win the matchup also. This 14-5. I was shocked when I heard that.
14-5.
The team that won the games in the regular the two games the team that has won the two games has won the second has won the third game 14 times.
That's amazing.
That's crazy, right?
That's great stat.
Mm-hmm. I heard that on ESPN and I was floored. I had to check to make sure.
They've had their number this year. I mean, they clean their clocks in Carolina.
Yeah, this is a quarterback game right here. This is between Cam Newton and Drew Brees, and I think you got to put the smart monies on Drew Brees. But I don't think the Panthers go out and lose by this. This is a field goal game right here. Whichever team has the football last, I think the New Orleans Saints advance. The winner of this game right here has a very good shot to go to the Super Bowl.
The winner of that game does have a very good shot to go to the Super Bowl because there's a good chance, as you said, they go to Philly, and then, you know, you get to the NFC Championship game, who knows, basically.
The NFC Championship game will likely be played against the Minnesota Vikings.
And Carolina's beaten them already.
Do you know what happens to the Minnesota Vikings this time of year?
The Vikings and the Eagles traditionally find ways to
exactly.
So, evidently, what I'm seeing is this is the end of the 2015 season, I think. It happened like 17 times since 1950 they had won. I guess they're 14-5 in their last 19 or something like that. But amazing. Absolutely amazing stat. That normal, more often than not, it happens, which is wild. But
the
one
that we go to is the 2007 New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys.
Correct.
Where the Dallas Cowboys tried to beat the Giants for the third time in the playoffs.
They were not able to.
That was one of the low moments of my life.
That number is pretty crazy.
I cried in the car that night.
It's kind of like the what I saw Nick Saban versus his assistants.
That's crazy too. 11-0, yep.
And his margin of victory is like 14 points.
He beats him down. That's going to be a goodie on Monday night. Two SEC teams. Everybody saying that Alabama wasn't supposed to be there. They showed that they were supposed to be there. And then you also get to see, if you didn't see this NFL season, the greatness that was Deshaun Watson, because they did not have a chance. And that quarterback is decent. They didn't have a chance to beat Alabama. They got beat down.
Shout out to the big man.
Yeah.
That was a wide load.
Yeah.
Interception.
That's how athletic that dude was? Yeah. That's crazy.
You know, I think it's amazing. I do feel like maybe this is crazy. Kirby Smart seems like a smarter assistant than a lot of the other assistants of Nick Saban.
I think having that backfield really
probably helps too. And having, you know, this quarterback helps as well. A true freshman.
Freshman in a big spot against Nick Saban is going to be interesting to see how that works out. But he's got to rely on those backs, those backs that are going to be on our fantasy teams next year.
It's true.
Both of them.
Sonny with a chance of touchdowns.
Yeah. I like that.
He just winked at me. He had that one ready.
I
got
that last
I can't
night.
Wait That's for I can't wait for Spitting Speeds to get a hold of that one.
He was ready to rock with that one. I've been loving to know, Nick Saban. Does it bother you? It's an all SEC matchup in the championship.
To him, it's the NFL's breeding ground.
Yeah, I
would have liked to see Oklahoma, but
yeah, I want to see Oklahoma also Baker Mayfield, but I'm good with this. And Kirby Smart, the defensive guru for Saban for so long. All right, we'll talk about some coaching changes when we come back next on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We are here. Pelicic is loving it this morning.
I'm in a damn good mood.
There's nothing that can bring this guy down right now.
I might have went streaking on Sunday night, but it was just too damn cold.
It wasn't. You probably ordered in some nice dinner Sunday night, though.
Yes. Actually.
That was New Year's.
Yeah, New Year's Eve. What the hell did I have? I couldn't get my tie. Pure was not taking deliveries at.
Man.
We had pasta. We ordered some nice.
Oh, delicious.
Gnocchi pasta.
Love it.
Vodka penne.
I wanted to meet gnocchi this week. I forgot about that. Mr. Parson, what did you do for New Year's?
Nothing much. I was around the crib chilling.
Very nice. Very nice. I had pizza at 3 a.m.
That's real cool.
I was out. I barely made it to 1 a.m.
I barely made it past midnight myself. I was good to go.
All right. we had pizza, and my girlfriend was a bit inebriated and then forgot to tip the delivery guy.
Oh, that's nice.
I felt bad.
In that frigid weather, he came.
Yeah. I agree. I killed her for it. I felt very, very bad about it. But then I ate the pizza, and then I, you know, didn't feel just bad. Okay, so there are...
Oh, you bet I'm not ordering from that place again. He's going to be like, oh, okay.
Oh, I like the pizza. It's really good.
Well, you're going to have to make sure that...
Got to do it for my account, not her account.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Okay, so there are 7 head coaching vacancies. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 7 head coaching vacancies, if you include Cincinnati, which God knows at this point, in the NFL. Detroit, Arizona, New York, Oakland, Chicago, Indianapolis, and potentially Cincinnati. Those are your 7 head coaching vacancies. Matt, what's the best job?
I mean, Detroit has Matthew Stafford, who's, you have a quarterback in place. You pretty much need a running game. I would like to go there. I'm trying to think of every team you just mentioned in my
Detroit,
head.
Arizona, New York, Oakland, maybe cross it off with Gruden.
Cross Oakland out.
All right, we'll leave Oakland out of this. Detroit, Arizona, New York, Chicago, Indianapolis, and I'm going to include Cincinnati.
Yes, please.
I'm going to say, Detroit, I think, with Stafford in place and everything that they have a good core of wide receivers. You know, they could fill things through free agency, through the draft, to really improve upon this team. The Giants are always going to be an organization you want that job from. They can make a couple of moves and get this in the right direction. And Arizona is really interesting. Fitzgerald comes back. You get a healthy David Johnson. You got some players on defense that are very, very good. So it all depended upon how they go the quarterback route and getting a secondary receiver in there. Those would be the top 3 for me.
I think the job, if I was on the market, the one that I would be the most intrigued with, the one that I would ask the most questions about, The one that I would want to know the most about would be the Indianapolis Colts because they have the best player in Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. And if I know that Andrew Luck is going to be healthy in 2018, that's a slam dunk job right there. That's a weak division. That team can go to first place in that division in no time. But Andrew Luck's health is key. You got through the draft. You have work you have to do.
I don't know though. How weak that division is.
I think a healthy Andrew Luck is better than
healthy Deshaun Watson. A healthy Deshaun Watson.
The
defense is good, and the Titans are in the playoffs.
Well, according to Jim Irsay, he said, "I promise you, Andrew Luck."
Where have I heard that?
That's
before.
The one part about the Indianapolis job is Andrew Luck and Jim Irsay. If you can handle it, if you can get with somebody trustworthy and reliable to know the truth about Andrew Luck,
I would be saying one word. Ownership. ownership.
You want that, and then I don't want to have too much dealings with Irsay, and keep Peyton Manning away from me, too.
So for me, the best job, I think, I agree with you, Matt. I think the best job is Detroit, because you have staff.
Coach shouldn't have been fired, number one.
I think
their coach was seven games over 500.
I think they maxed out with him.
With no running back?
He never had
a running game to speak of.
Never.
He had Dallas beat in the playoff a couple years ago. Was a playoff team last year. You know, Detroit Lions coach seven games over 500.
But I wonder why can't that be like when the Bucks fired Dungy for Gruden and they got him over the hump. Like, Dungy always won, always got you there. They maxed out. They got him over the hump, boom, they win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying Detroit's going to win the Super Bowl next year, but I think a different guy could potentially get them over the hump.
I think you always want to look at, if you're a head coach, what kind of quarterback situation you're going into.
Right.
I don't think Stafford's the best quarterback. I know he's the highest paid or whatever.
He's a top 10 quarterback. I think he's a top 10 quarterback.
But he's a guy. He's a proven veteran. He's got weapons out there. You got MJJ, Golden Tate. So there's weapons that he has. Young Kenny Galladay,
Another thing for Caldwell, did he go into that job thinking he wasn't going to have Calvin Johnson?
No, I'm sure not.
See what I'm saying? He should still have this job. Caldwell should be looking at it. This upcoming year should have been Caldwell's year to see what he was really about. But he lost the job. You guys are right.
They lost to the Bengals.
Pieces are in place.
They lost to the Bengals.
I have a question.
The playoffs on the line. They blew an egg at home against the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's a bad loss right there. Should that cost him his job? I don't think so.
Okay. What about the Bears, Jim?
I was going to say, hold on. So I'm going to get to that in a second. I want to go through the teams you talked about because I want to talk about the Bears. My next team would be Indianapolis, like you said, with Andrew Luck in place. You have pieces. You can do your thing. I like Chris Ballard. I say Indianapolis would be next for me. Arizona scares me because there's no quarterback.
There's no quarterback, but you can get a wide receiver. You can get another piece on defense. And, you know, what if you got, say they draft a young quarterback, they put Alex Smith in there for a year or something like that. I thought this team was going to be challenging the Seahawks for the division. So I think they have pieces in there. You got Peterson. You have that shutdown corner, which is valuable. That's a valuable commodity. And Peterson, if not the best, one of definitely top five.
You go out and you get an Alex Smith and you bring Alex Smith into that situation right there. With a healthy David Johnson, it makes the job more interesting.
Agreed.
But it's not. I don't think Alex Smith is not a long term answer.
Certainly not.
But I'm saying, so now you sign Smith, you draft the franchise quarterback of the future,
and then Alex Smith has to sit. And then Alex Smith has to sit back.
Again.
And get, let's wait for next person to replace me.
At least he'll have that competition. He'll be having you saw the difference this year.
So that's my problem with Arizona, and I'm glad you brought up Chicago. I think Chicago is really interesting. It was a defense that was actually pretty good for a lot of this year. They have a quarterback potentially in place. I don't know what you guys think of Trubisky. A quarterback in place. You have some talent at running back. They desperately need a wide receiver. But the line's pretty good, too. I think Chicago's a good job.
What their cap situation would be interesting to me to see what you can do to maneuver that cap with the Chicago Bears. Obviously, you know, the monster is a midway, Put it like this. If you go to Chicago and win, you can be a legend there.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing about it is, but I would want a long, hard look at that young quarterback before I made a commitment to the Chicago Bears.
I think the Bears got to, draft, six of the seven picks.
Wide receivers. Yeah, they desperately need a wide receiver. I found it interesting, not that John Fox got fired, I think that makes sense. I found it interesting that Ryan Pace, the general manager, they got the extension, and he's the one that, signed Mike Glennon, signed Marcus Wheaton to this long-term contract, instead of Alshon Jeffrey. Adam's very confused by that.
Yeah, so was I.
He's probably in.
He's got to have a good work relationship with the ownership.
Yeah, exactly. That Isaiah Thomas deal.
Potentially so. So the one job nobody here has mentioned yet, and you mentioned every one except one, and that's Cincinnati, who has A.J. Green, you have Andy Dalton, you have Joe Mixon.
You got an AFC North payroll.
I think you have, look, I hate to say this after what happened on Sunday night, but I think you got to move on from Andy Dalton. I know he's not the worst quarterback in the league.
Maybe he'll be Buffalo's next quarterback.
But I think you need to move on. I think you need to go a different direction here. I think they desperately need to sign a lineman, draft lineman. They still have, look, if you go into next year with Joe Mixon, you got a Gio Bernard, you got A.J. Green. A.J. Green is somebody I'm still going to be very interested in next year. I know it was a down season for him. But, you know, that's a nice start on the offense. And like I said, with defense, you can draft players, you can fill in free agency. And their defense, you know, they do need some pieces, but it's not like the league's worst defense.
You got to rebuild that thing. You got to, first of all, you got to inject some kind of discipline into that locker room. You got to get that situation squared away and figured out. I would want to take a look at what Andy Dalton's contract situation is. Andy Dalton is good enough to lose with. You know, he's good enough to have you sitting in the playoff game in closed stadium in the first round and go home disappointed. That thing could take a total rehaul right there. Obviously, that offensive line is an issue. And I want to see what A.J. McCarron has. So
does Hugh Jackson.
Yes.
The Hugh Jackson thing's crazy, man.
It's
like,
wild.
If
Hugh
you
Jackson.
Say this out loud, it's the wild. Dude went 1-15 and 0-16 and still has a job.
But, he would be a commodity if he was on the market, too.
Don't you see? Like, I see it like where Marvin Lewis is going to stay with Cincinnati, but maybe move up to the GM role.
Right.
And then you come in, you know, use his boy.
That's his guy.
So
it's unbelievable.
You're working with an AFC North payroll. That's a tough job.
And Hugh Jackson basically is just like, no one can do the job that I did here. Actually, I can. I can do the job.
Mr. Sussman, come inside. Yeah,
I can win no games in Cincinnati.
I'm going to say Hugh Jackman.
Wolverine.
His statements are, you know.
Incredible.
They really. Incredible is the word.
He's like Slick Willie. You know what I'm saying? He's like Slick Willie. He's sitting up there smiling like, wait a minute, I know this is not right.
Like, everyone else but me.
Yes. It's
like, accountability is a word he knows nothing of.
He Slick will Willie. Throw everybody under the bus and still stand here.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
I would have loved to see the conversation he had with ownership. That must have been awesome.
People like you.
People like Hugh Jackson. That's the bottom line to it. People like Hugh Jackson.
He's like, drink up, sir. Drink up. Have another one.
Shine here.
What's the dude from The Wire? Was he the mayor?
No, the state senator?
Yeah, the state senator. That's who Hugh Jackson reminds me of.
Hugh Jackson, man, surviving. Is he taking another quarterback first overall? Is that what he's going
to
do?
They have to take. Look, they have the first and the fourth pick.
Right.
So that's what's interesting. I mean, I know everybody has Minka Fitzpatrick going.
I would try to get Kirk Cousins.
I would try to get Kirk Cousins, too.
Mm-hmm.
I want as many players.
I hope Washington doesn't franchise him again. I want Kirk to leave.
Him franchise. Where would he
what
be
about
at?
Josh Gordon?
Where would he be at? $40 million? That's the most Washington thing ever.
We gave you the coaching vacancies. Now let's try to match up the best candidates. Let's talk the coaching candidates and where we think they end up when we come back.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
So I gave you the head coaching vacancies there, right? So my question becomes, who fills them? Who fills them? Where do they go? And the obvious next response is, okay, do the New England guys leave? That's Matt Patricia. That's Josh McDaniels. McDaniels has always been the hot candidate. Ever since he went back to New England and rehabbed his image and everything, everyone always wanted McDaniels. Nobody really wanted Patricia until now. Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels, from what I read earlier this morning, is that they are going to be in New England on Saturday, basically having teams come to them. We're going to sit here. I'm going to sit here in my office, and you come to me. Did Josh McDaniels and Matt Patricia, either or, do they leave New England?
I think McDaniels is out the door. Patricia, it seems like teams are interested, but I think McDaniels will be a head coach somewhere.
Where?
I would put, like, I would think he'd want to go to Detroit. I think that would be, if I'm him, I'd be, that'd be a place I'd look for all the reasons I said last segment. But he's got to figure what's the best spot to win at long term, what's the best deal he's going to get the chance, what kind of a say. So, I mean, that's interesting. If I was him, I'd like to go to the Giants. The Giants, just for, it's a historic franchise and stuff like that. If Andrew Luck was healthy, see, I just don't believe Andrew Luck's healthy anymore.
Sure.
Then, obviously, Indianapolis, even though Irsay's out of his mind, but I don't think he's healthy.
To me, I said it earlier, Corey, I think Patricia is the one that ends up in Detroit. I think the GM, Bob Quinn, worked for New England for a while. Mm-hmm. He kept Jim Caldwell when he got hired, so it was basically only a matter of time before Caldwell got fired there. And I think from everything, the first people that they had talked to, all defense, right? Every request they put in was defense. So I believe that that's the direction they want to go, and they maybe leave Jim Bob Cooter as the offensive coordinator. I think Patricia comes in and he fixes that defense. And the good thing about Patricia, we've seen it even this year, is that defense always gets better.
But
every year it gets better.
Is it Belichick?
Sure.
Or is it Patricia? That's always been the...
If I'm going to get somebody from New England, I'm going to go get the McDaniels dude, because I want the head coach to be arm-in-arm with the quarterback. That's just the way I look at it.
Okay. So you always want an offensive guy.
I want an offensive guy. I'll get the best coordinators defensively, but I want somebody that's going to come in there and work with my quarterback.
Yeah, just like what Corey said, look what the Rams did. McVay got the job. He wanted Wade Davis. I'm not
Wade Phillips.
But that's what he said. Look, I want this job.
It's not Wade Davis' turn yet.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying? So that makes a ton of sense. You can get a good coordinator on defense. I think this game, the offense is just so pivotal. You know, it's such a thing you need to hit on. And you can see how it changes the franchise. You saw what Fisher did. And, you know, if the Bears like hire Fisher, that'll just be like...
I don't think you can go to John Fox and Jeff Fisher. I don't think you can do that.
That would be a mutiny right there. They would tear Soldier Field down.
But you've seen what they're able to do. You get this offensive mind in there. It changes everything. And you can hire a very good defensive coordinator.
I get it. I understand that. But I don't think we stop looking at the defensive side of the ball, though, for head coaches.
No, but like, for the Bills, even
Sean
though they're
McDermott,
making the playoffs,
right.
I still think they should have went the offensive route.
All right. You know,
There's guys out there that you can hire, too, that's coming up.
I thought you guys would love Patricia. That literally wore the Goodell clown shirt, the whole deal.
No, Patricia's a good... I mean, listen, he's going to get a shot this year. He deserves it.
I think
it.
So, too.
Myself, personally, I want to go with more offensive-minded coach. Even though McDaniels has failed. Yeah.
He drafted Tim Tebow in the first round.
Bill Belichick failed, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, McDaniels drafted Tim Tebow in the first round, only because he wanted to Belichick it and be like, listen,
and he won a playoff game with Tim Tebow.
Yes, he did.
There you go.
No,
right
he
there.
No, he did not. John Fox won the playoff.
No,
game
that was John. Oh yeah, he was the what you calling on that team, right?
No,
Josh McDaniels was
got fired. He got fired before.
Before that game. Mm-hmm.
Before
that season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. John Fox won the playoff game with Tim Tebow, to be fair.
And Fox did not win
Amazing.
The Super Bowl.
No, he did not. Gary Kubiak won the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Okay, those are the two New England guys. Your top, you know, the top guys that I think if you have a vacancy like the Giants do for me, like that's who I want them to go after, right? I want these two guys, I'm sure, or I hope.
Okay, well,
they'll wait until Saturday before they hire their
head coach. As the Giant fan,
yeah.
And the possibility, looks like they're going to take that franchise quarterback, I think McDaniel's the guy you want.
Right, and I get that. But the other most popular name that I have seen on the market is in Philadelphia. And again, it's not an offensive guy. It's another second time around head coach in the circle, and it's Jim Schwartz.
Yeah.
The former Detroit Lions head coach.
See, I think Jim Schwartz is an excellent defensive coordinator. But look, maybe that second time. Look, yeah, that you got to understand this too. Sometimes the second time around, I'm not advocating Jim Schwartz to be hired. I think he's fabulous coordinator.
Right.
But sometimes it's that second time around, you learn from your mistakes. You know, you've been there, and I'm not saying it's crazy,
I think Detroit has the pieces on their staff to be the head coach. I think pieces on with Jim Bob Cooter and
Terrell Austin?
Terrell Austin. I think they got the pieces on their staff. So I look at it that way. As far as Jim Schwartz, I mean, that's recycling mediocrity to me.
Yeah.
With Jim Schwartz. You give Jim Schwartz a job, I think that you're going to be looking for another coach in the next 3 years.
I think
years.
He's like the Wade Phillips. Excellent coordinator.
So I don't know that I can go that far. Because Schwartz, excellent coordinator, like you're saying. He was in Detroit before Caldwell. He had Calvin Johnson. He had Matthew Stafford. And he couldn't win a playoff game either. And I get all those things. But, you know, this is a guy that, you know, did a really nice job in Buffalo, went to Philadelphia, did a really nice job in Philadelphia. I know a lot of Giants fans are hating the Jim Schwartz idea. I don't hate it. It's not terrible. It obviously depends who he brings on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's defensive guy.
That's the huge call.
I don't hate it. I really, really don't hate it.
Would you be satisfied if there was, just throwing this out there, because what about a guy like a Matt LaFleur comes in on the offensive side of the football? What if a guy like Brian Leftwich comes in on the offensive side of the football? You think Brian Leftwich is ready? Matt LaFleur ready? Or they still need seasoning?
I don't know. I think those are both fair questions. I think both guys, Byron Leftwich, Matt LaFleur, quarterback coaches that people have talked up. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
I'm going to go with LaFleur.
Sure.
You know, he's been with McVay. I have to think he's learned.
Well, he's only been with McVay this year. Before that, he was with Kyle Shanahan, right, in Atlanta.
Well, he wasn't in Washington.
He was in Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan. So,
yeah, well, you got Shanahan.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think LaFleur would be cool.
Take from minds and stuff.
But I don't think LaFleur is leaving L.A. to be another offensive coordinator. I don't think they let him go.
A vertical move right
Correct.
There. Correct. If you want LaFleur, it's going to have to be as the head coach. I think you can get a vertical move. Well, I think you can get Leftwich to be an offensive coordinator.
Correct, because he's a quarterback's coach.
Yeah, if the time is right, mm-hmm. and then maybe that's how he ascends up. But those are some of the names. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It's a couple of cats in college that might make interesting head coaches
I know the college guys yet. So Jim Schwartz was next. There are two more defensive guys on here before I move on to the offensive guys. Two names that are popular. I don't know if it'll be this cycle for one of them, but two names that are popular here are Steve Wilks out in Carolina and Mike Vrabel, of course, the former Patriot from Houston. And it's interesting. I'll start with Wilks. He's only been the defensive coordinator since Sean McDermott left, which was literally last year. He was promoted to assistant head coach. People have linked him to the Giants job because of Dave Gettleman, but he's got an interview request by 3 or 4 teams. People seem to like his leadership ability. I'm like, on Steve Wilks. I don't know. Where are you guys here?
I'm kind of with you.
Yeah.
He's a guy, Wilks, that probably, I think, this may not be his cycle. I do think he goes out there and gets interviews. I don't think this might be his cycle. Okay. I see him back in Carolina.
I agree.
Giving it another shot next year. That's what I think is the deal for Wilks. I want to see a little bit more of him before I say that he's a leader of the team.
I agree. I think he did a nice job with the defense, but there's some pieces there. It's a lot of McDermott's defense.
I mean, he might be the Rooney Rule guy this year. You feel what I'm saying?
I completely agree with you. He might be the Rooney Rule guy this year. Although, you know what's fun? You know what's fun? Not funny, but Winston Moss is the Rooney Rule guy every year.
Yeah, where does he come from? If I was him, I would start making him pay me to interview.
Everybody just interviews Winston Moss. Mike Vrabel, I'm confused why he's getting jobs. Like, I get it. Like, he was a leader of the Patriots defense. People like Mike Vrabel. He's a likable guy. But his Houston defense was like the worst defense in the NFL.
It was, but look, they lost Boué.
They lost AJ Boye. They lost JJ Watt. Whitney Mercilus. But you lost all these guys, and you came in last.
I gotta think he falls under that tree.
But that's
I'm
crazy.
Just saying, but that's what people.
That seems so silly to me. You're gonna hire a head coach at the worst defense in the NFL?
Bob kept his job.
I mean, it's tough.
I thought Bob should have.
I don't know.
I know we disagree with that. I thought Bill O'Brien should have.
Deshaun Watson saved them.
Deshaun Watson saved them.
Deshaun Watson may not
Deshaun
be able to save
Watson
him next
saved
year.
Him and the GM having to leave for personal reasons or something.
He won the power.
The Mike Vrabel thing is he played with Bill Belichick, leader of men, and stuff like that. I don't know if Vrabel is ready. He very well may get a shot. If Vrabel does get a shot, he could be like an AFC North guy.
I can see that.
You could probably
I can
pay
him
less. Yeah.
All right, the two offensive guys this cycle that you hear a lot about come from I believe the same tree, actually. That's Pat Shurmur and John DeFilippo. I believe Filippo was the offensive coordinator for Shurmur in Cleveland, I want to say. I have to look that up. I know they were both in Cleveland at separate times. You had Shurmur also with the Rams. So these guys are two guys you've heard a lot about. DeFilippo, a young guy, quarterback coach for Carson Wentz. Pat Shurmur's done wonders with Case Keenum. He's been around the league a lot, Shurmur. He's an Andy Reid guy, an Andy Reid disciple. He's a redshirt quarterback as well, a retread quarterback. I don't know if it's a redshirt. Do these guys excite you, Corey?
Yeah, I think Pat Shurmur is a guy that's ready to get a job.
Second job.
You got to get that stink of Cleveland off you, except for Hugh Jackson. Everybody else. So the stink of Cleveland is off him now. We're seeing what he's done with this offense this season with the Minnesota Vikings. So I think Pat Shurmur is a guy that's ready. I think Pat Shurmur might be the best candidate on the market this cycle.
There you go, Pat Shurmur, the best candidate on the market this cycle, Matt.
Possibly, I think McDaniel's the guy. He's the top level.
All right, just for correction purposes, John DeFilippo was the offensive coordinator for Mike Pettine in Cleveland. There you go. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Jake Seeley, the all-in kid, next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So we're back here now, Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Matt Modica, Corey Parson, and it's that time of the day where we welcome in my good friend for the first time this year, 2018. It's the all-in kid, JJ. What's going on, JJ?
Happy New Year, Greg.
Happy New Year, buddy. What did you do for New Year's?
Nah, not much. Watched some football. Well, not that night, and then just hung out with some friends and played some inappropriate games like Cars to Humanity.
Why are Cars for Humanity an inappropriate game?
Have you never played it?
Of course I have.
It's kind of some inappropriate stuff. It's funny.
You're an adult. It's not inappropriate.
I'm just saying. There's some raunchy stuff being said. That's what makes it funny, though.
Yeah, you're damn right. That's it. It is. Cars for Humanity is fun. I played that new game last night myself. I don't actually know what it's called, but it involved werewolves and villagers. It is a blast, and I want to teach everybody at the studio.
I have no idea what games you guys are talking about. Spin the Bottle is always a good one.
The werewolves and villagers one is a very, very safe, is that very like safe
the,
game.
Is it by the same people that make Exploding Kittens?
I don't know what that is. You don't need any props. There's like 10
cards. No, you don't need anything. Exploding Kittens. Yes, just playing cards. Is the animation kind of a little exaggerated? Because it kind of sounds like it might be.
No animation at all. You just need people. That's all.
Okay.
I'll explain it. It's really, really fun. I'll explain it to everybody. I didn't even mention this for you here, Matt. How excited are you in this Bills game? It's the Marone Bowl. It's a dream you have always wanted.
I just really want LeSean McCoy to be healthy enough to play. That's what I really want. That running back situation is going to be scary.
Yeah, it could be Mike Tolbert getting the start for the Buffalo Bills in their first playoff game this millennium. Jake, I saw you tweeting last night and this morning about the national championship game, and you watched both college football games last night. You got Georgia versus Alabama here in the national title game, but you're annoyed that it's two SEC teams.
Yeah, it's not that I'm so just annoyed. It's just I wanted to see a little bit different. I think that Oklahoma would have been entertaining. Clemson, I thought it was a long shot with no Deshaun Watson. But at the same time, there's other teams. Like, this is why, and I know everybody's going to say, well, if you go to 8, you're going to complain about the 10th team and the 9th team. Like, I always thought 8 was perfect. I said that from day one. I say it again today. I think going past eight or under eight, whatever. Eight's perfect in my opinion because you have UCF and Ohio State that are making claims. Like, I mean, who's to argue that they don't deserve to be in the conversation? But all that being said, this is what we're left with. They are the two quote-unquote best teams. Oklahoma barely lost. I would have liked to see at least Oklahoma-Alabama to see if that defense could do better than Georgia did. But it's just it's more so the tiredness of seeing SEC, like the tiredness of people seeing the Patriots or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I was rooting for Oklahoma also for the same reason you were. I think these two teams deserve to be there, though, Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. What scares me, and I totally agree with you, that eight teams should make the college football playoff, but UCF undefeated, they were ranked 12th by the playoff committee. They wouldn't have gotten in as an undefeated team in an eight-team playoff, which is crazy.
Right. I agree with you. I think that is crazy. I think that the fact that what you saw them do in the bowl game, and it wasn't a dominant performance, but it was a good enough performance to win their bowl game, and they looked really good. But, yeah, I would actually rather just see a rematch of Oklahoma-Georgia, honestly.
Yeah, you know, that would have been awesome. But you're right. It wasn't a dominating performance by UCF. It didn't have to be. They beat the team that Georgia beat in the SEC title game, the team that beat Alabama. I don't want to use transitive property. They went 12-0, and tonight I have an opportunity to get into the playoffs and see what they could do. It stinks.
We'll always have the Rose Bowl.
We'll always have the Rose Bowl, indeed. Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask you this. What did you think UCF's coach, Scott Frost, going to coach Nebraska next year? He coached this one out, saw his undefeated season through. A lot of coaches just leave him. I like that.
I'm glad he did it. Yeah,
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was really, really cool. Jake will talk more about this, I'm sure, throughout the day. He's got two shows on Target at 4 p.m. Eastern. And then, here, today, next, is the Fantasy Football Frenzy with Matt Modica, Jake Seeley, and Corey Parson. For Corey, for Matt, for Jake, for Scott, I'm Greg. Happy New Year, everybody. I'll see you a little bit later on with the BFFs. I want to thank Mike Florio downstairs and Danny Okers. I'll see you guys later on. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.